Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm 55, verse 22. We're going to look there, and then I want to look at another verse in Isaiah. Psalm 55, verse 22, and find your place there. You know, we all have a lot of stresses in life. And there are times that we face some things that we'd rather not face. There's some things that come our way, and all of us have different things that come our way as far as the stress points that come to us, and some we understand and some we don't understand. But we know that we have problems, we have stress. Well, what do we do with those things? And that's what I want to preach on for the next few Sunday nights, what to do with your burdens. What do you do with your burdens? We have a choice of what we do with them. Now look at Psalm 55 in verse 22. Here's some good advice to us tonight. Look at it. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord. Now look at Isaiah chapter 40, if you can find it there rather quickly, in verse 31. A similar verse that reminds us of the very same principle that we have as far as casting our burdens on the Lord. In Isaiah 40, in verse 31. And this is a good lesson for us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That tells us that God will give us the strength that we need. So what kind of pressures do you have tonight? It may be a home mortgage. You're having a hard time meeting that house payment. It may be some kind of worry that you have, and we're going to address that later. And maybe it's some kind of fear that you have about the future and about what's going on, maybe in our world today. Some kind of grief that you have in your heart. Something that has broken your heart and disappointed you. What do you do with all of these tensions and all of these things? Sometimes we have those, and we're only human beings. And we think, well, that's just for the unsaved. I want to tell you that sometimes there's a tipping point for the saved, too. Those that know the Lord, those who name the name of Christ, there's sort of a tipping point. Now, we used to do what we call seesaw. Y'all call it, you educated people call it teeter-totter. But down in Louisiana, we call it a seesaw. And we'd get on that seesaw, and we'd go up and down like that. It was always fun if you could find somebody where you came to that particular point, that point where the teeter-totter was on your side in the sense that you jumped off right quick and let it go down with them. How many of you ever did that? Tell the truth. How many of you ever had that done to you? Tell the truth. Boy, it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. But there is that point. There is that tipping point. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, the tipping points, the things that come in our life that we have to deal with. One of the main things, of course, and it's a very general, broad-brush statement, and that is stress. We all have stress. By the way, some stress is good for us. It really is. It's good sometimes to pull the rubber band, but if you just pull it and don't ever release it, that's not the best thing. But stress is not all bad for us. But whenever it's a stress that stays there and brings us to the tipping point, then that's too much stress. And then we think about the word overload. How many of you ever heard that? The word overload. And many of us can relate to that. Richard Swinson, in a book I'd recommend you read called Margins, said in his book these words that in the area that he's talking about, that there's too much stress. And he names those things in certain areas that we have in our lives. And maybe you can relate to some of them. And we have to manage these things. Now, we can manage most of them if we just have one or two of them. But you accumulate them, and we really run into some problems with that. and run into overload. What are some of those things? One of them is activity overload. We independent Baptists ought to know a little bit about that, shouldn't we? If we're not careful, sometimes we get so busy doing everything but the right thing. And then there's change overload. Sometimes there are major changes that come in our life. Our daughter just moved from Roanoke, Virginia to Lynchburg, Virginia, 60 miles away. We were going on vacation somewhere else. She called Mother and said, "I'm stressed out. Do you think y'all could come help us on your vacation?" Well, we did. It'd like to kill me. But at any rate, there was this change overload, and they were going into another home, and they needed somebody to scrape paint and get it in good shape as they were moving into it, hang pictures, things I love to do, and all of that. But there's change overload, so we helped them out a little bit. There's choice overload. I've never seen so many choices out there. You go into Home Depot or Lowe's, and I about go out of my bonkers. I want to think, where in the world? You have to walk half a mile to get to the aisle that's the wrong aisle, and then they tell you, somebody, you have to push the button, and it takes them 10 minutes to get there. And Home Depot's the same way, all of them the same way. And then you have all this information, all of these things that are out there, overload that is there. Choices everywhere. You have commitment overload. If you're not careful, you'll overcommit. And some people do that. You overcommit. And God does not want us to overcommit. Now, that's not a problem with most Baptists, I know, but it can be a problem if you don't guard it. And then there's debt overload. Oh, me, that's one. There are a lot of people who are so in debt. The average person has, they say, $8,000, I believe it is, of credit card debt. That's the average across the nation tonight. That's a lot of debt. And especially credit card debt, when you're paying 18% or 22% or 24% or whatever it may be, there's debt overload. And what a sad thing that is. There's decision overload. There's expectation overload. Sometimes our expectations are too high. There's fatigue overload. We just get wore out and tired and take too much on ourselves. There is hurry overload. Everybody's in a hurry. Hurry up, hurry up. Let's go, let's go. We're going to be late. Move, move, move. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And we just constantly have that kind of pressure on us in the hurry overload. The information overload. My goodness. There's so much information out there now. Things that we didn't know about in the last 100 years. You can find out in about 2 or 3 minutes now. And I have my iPad, and if I come to something I don't understand and don't know, I just punch it in and ask for it, and it tells me all about it. And I can just keep learning and learning and learning about it. We have so much information out there. We really have an information overload. We have a media overload. We certainly have a noise overload. We have a people overload. Sometimes a possession overload and technology overload. All the technology. Thank God for iPhones. Amen. Everybody, Brother Rigsby, loves an iPhone. He absolutely hates them. I think I hate them too, but I have to have one. And you got the iPad, and then you got Facebook, and then you've got the emails, and then you've got Twitter and Twitter and whatever it may be. You got all of that stuff, all kinds of technology. And some of you techno freaks love that stuff, but some of us senior citizens hate you and hate it too. But at any rate, we wish you'd have never thought of it. I like a yellow pad with some margin on the side and the right things on that. And there's a traffic overload. My goodness, I'm so glad they made the speed limit 70 miles an hour. They wasn't killing enough people out there, so they upped it. You go where it's a straight highway, 4-lane, no cars there, out on one of these turnpikes, and the speed limit's 55. You get out here where there are a million cars and the speed limit's 70. That makes sense to me. But we have traffic overload. We have work overload, all kinds of things like that. It's been said that stress is an epidemic in our country today. Stress is an epidemic. The American Stress Institute says this, that stress is responsible for 250 million lost work days per year. 250 million lost work days per year. And 75 to 90% of the doctor's visits are related back to stress and the complaints because of stress. Companies spend $300 billion a year in stress-related accidents, in absenteeism, and the attrition rate because of stress. The National Institute of Mental Health says this, more than 23 million Americans suffer from some form of anxiety. That's a lot of people. Now, as I said, all of us have some stress, and some stress is okay, but when we have too much and it becomes debilitating, then we need to do something about it. And we have to understand what our tipping point is and how to watch that. Secondly, stress is not new. Go back in the Bible. We think that's a modern-day thing. Go back and find out that there's a guy named Elijah who got under a lot of stress. You remember the occasion in the Bible. He had a tipping point. I believe he was a great man of God. But maybe he wasn't wise in some of the things that he did. 1 Kings 19 talks about it. And here we have the account of him collapsing. Yeah, this great Elijah collapsing under the juniper tree because he was so stressed out. He had confronted Ahab and his sin, which was not easy. He had also executed 450 prophets of Baal. That was a great victory. And Jezebel was after him. That's not a good thing to have. Jezebel after you, and she was after him, and he was running from her. And all of this had happened to him. And he was sort of at the tipping point. We have another case of Martha in the New Testament. Martha was talking to the Lord one day. She was frustrated. She was serving God. We're a little hard on her sometimes, but I'm telling you, Martha loved Jesus. She was really trying to do her best to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe she wasn't too wise in allowing herself to get stressed out. Luke 10:40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, I need some help. I've done all I can do, and I need some help. So Martha was sort of stressed out at this point. And the details of all of the day had left her very frazzled as an individual. But maybe she came to that tipping point because she didn't do what already should have been done, spending a little more time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times we don't choose our major stressors. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. But sometimes it just happens. There are major stress points that come in our life, and they're outside of our control, and they pile up on us, and we don't aim for them to pile up on us, and we look around and we say, I can see no way out. What in the world am I going to do with all of these things that have happened to me? One thing we need to do is don't get bitter at God. Amen? You see, God allows things because God has a sovereign plan in your life. You may not understand the stress points you have tonight and why God has allowed this to come to you if it's something that you didn't bring on yourself and it's a major thing, but don't get mad at God. Don't get angry with God. That never helps anybody at all. It only weakens us. But we've got to remember that God has a sovereign plan for allowing these things in our lives, and He wants to bring us closer to Himself. And then thirdly, tipping points can bring positive change. Tipping points coming to that place can bring positive change in our lives. And by that I mean we can learn to have some margin. Swinson again said in his book, margin is the space between our load and our limit. Margin is the space between our load and our limit. Thank God in our Bibles we have a little margin. I like that. We can write notes in it. You have paper with margins on it. We need margins. We need margins in our life. And that is the difference. Margin is the space between our load and all of the limits that we have. And there's a gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. What do we call that? Margin. There's some margin that God gives us. And if we don't have some margin in our lives, spiritually and otherwise, then we're going to get overloaded. And when we come to that, we have a stressful event in our lives, and we have problems that come in our lives, and those events become tipping points in our lives and lead us to a place where we're in an emotional mess. Now let's go back to Elijah again. Elijah got under that juniper tree and he was really wrung out. Physically he was wrung out. I believe emotionally he was wrung out. And therefore, spiritually, it affected him and he was wrung out. Now, what if Elijah had taken a little time and just rested in the Lord? What if he hadn't pushed it and pushed it and pushed the envelope as hard as he did? You might question whether he was right or wrong about it, but I can tell you that it might have been wise for him to rest. In fact, God finally forced him to rest, didn't he? He brought him to the place that probably he should have been on his very own. God restored the margin that Elijah had lost in going too far. And so there was 40 days that God said, I want to stop you and let you get your equilibrium again. And you can go forward from there. Again, we go back to Martha. She missed the margin, I believe, of worship. She was so busy. Listen, we can get so busy in all that we do, and lots of it good, we leave Jesus out, and our devotional time out, and our prayer time out, and I want to promise you, that's the margin we need in our lives in order to go on and be able to have the strength to do what God tells us to do. Maybe Martha should have followed Mary's example and spent time at the very feet of Jesus. Listen, if you're at the feet of Jesus, you'll have a better perspective of your to-do list. How many of you use a to-do list? Some of us do, and I do. I use one every day, a to-do list, and I list them and give them priority numbers, and then I can get the most important ones done first. But I've learned this, that if I get on my knees and spend time with God, I have a better perspective on what I should do. And I can get things done better, and not in the energy of the flesh, but in the energy of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Why do we get in overload position? Why do we overload ourselves and get overextended in some area? Maybe our schedules, maybe some commitments that we have. We have to remember that we're not Superman or Superwoman. We have to remember that we cannot do it on our own. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is say no. And sometimes I have to do that, and we are wise sometimes when we're pushed to do more than we should be doing to just simply, kindly, and lovingly say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not in a position physically or otherwise to be able to do that, whatever it may be. Now, we have this attitude, and we sing the song, I Surrender All. And I love that song. That's a good song. I Surrender All. And we should surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good thing to do, surrendering all. But if we're not careful, we'll have a do-it-all-myself philosophy. And you cannot do that. There's not a pastor in the world that will try to do it all himself, but what he'll burn out in short order. And I learned that pretty quickly in my first pastorate. When I try to do it all myself, I learn to delegate. Now, you won't get as much done from those when you delegate as you might do. You might do 100%, but if you have five people doing 70%, you're going to get the job done a whole lot better. Amen? That's just the way it works. That's just the way things go. And if we're not careful, we have the do-it-all philosophy. Jesus never expected us to do it all, and Jesus never equipped us to do it all. Jesus has given us some sanity in the Word of God of how we ought to handle it. Now, I believe we ought to work. I don't like people that don't like work. The old, what was his name? Dobie Gillis. And back in that, whatever that program was. Don't shout it out to me. I got to remember. No, never mind. But what was the name of that program? What? Y'all don't know either. But anyway, Dobie Gillis. Maybe you do. Dobie Gillis was always scared of work. I like people that like work. I'm not afraid of work. I like people that like work. Some people say, well, you don't have any calluses on your hands. No, mine's on my heart. All right? There's a difference. But there's work. There's stress. And there's different kinds of works. But I can tell you this. I don't care for slackers. I used to have a staff worker, and he would always be picking on people. He'd say, "You slacker." And he'd just keep saying it to him. "You slacker, you slacker." Different ones at different times. I don't like slackers. I like people that'll work. Amen. If they're given a job, do it. And do it right. Do it on time. Do it when you said you would do it. And all of that. There's a difference in being lazy and giving the stress to God. And some people say, "Well, I'm just going to get rid of all stress." And they just sit down on their blessed assurance and do nothing. Very little. But that's not what God's talking about. We need to be careful with that. But your stress and my stress may be different. But we need to turn our stress over to God. Your stress may be your job. Your stress may be some relationship that has gone wrong. Your stress may be your schedule that is so heavy. It may be goals that you have and you're not reaching. And finances. I wish everybody would take some of those financial courses that we offer. Because I'm telling you, over the years as a pastor, one of the main problems that couples have that brings them to a problem area in their marriages is they overextend themselves financially. There's just a whole lot of stuff out there we don't need. We think we have to have it. We don't have to have it. Oh, get it. Easy payment plan. And we've got the television all the time hammering at us to buy, buy, buy. And we'll just make it as simple as all get out. If you can't afford to finance it, we'll lease it to you, on and on and on, ad infinitum. Let me tell you, you need to be careful about that. And so that can bring, I don't know what your stress is. Maybe it's ministry stress or a combination of a number of those things. But your stress is real to you. Now, we need to build some margin in our lives. God expects us to do that. Don't carry more stress than you have to. I'm not saying we shouldn't be sacrificial, but I'm just saying don't carry more stress than you have to. When you carry too much financial stress, you're in problems. And sometimes there are uncontrollable emergencies. You cannot control that. But I'm talking about what you control. Don't carry more stress than you have to. And God did not design our body. God did not design our mind that He gave us to carry unrestrained burden or unrestrained stress. God did not build us that way. And if we get all of that in our lives, you know what will happen? I've seen it happen to Christians. They fall out of the race. They quit serving God. They quit doing what God's called them to do because they allow all of this stress in their lives. And Christians are no exception. Billions of dollars annually are spent by Christians on this very thing. Now, what would be an overcomer's secret? How do we overcome all this stress that God tells us about? Well, we have this philosophy that a sacrificial life will always be unfinished, and that is true. And we need to understand that. A sacrificial life will always be unfinished. But I can tell you this, you don't have to do it all in one day. You don't have to do it all today. You can spread out that spirit of being sacrificial. It'll always be unfinished. And when you die, my friend, you'll still leave some things unfinished. But we need to do what God has called us to do, have the right priorities, and use those things so that we're not in that area of stress all the time. And there's a fine line between what I would call diligence, that key word, and drivenness. There are a lot of people that are driven. What drives you and why? People are driven by materialism. They want a bigger car and a bigger house and more time for vacation and all of this, more prestige. Drivenness and diligence. Driven is born out of stress sometimes and brings stress in the life of people. And doing God's work, we try to do God's work for God. That's sometimes I've seen people who are driven like that. But then there are those who are diligent. And those are the ones who fully yield to the Lord and trust Him to do His work through them. God does His work through us as we depend on the Lord. And we're reminded by David in Psalm 127:1, if the Lord doesn't build a house, they labor in vain that try to build it. The Lord has to do it. The Lord has to build the house. The Lord has to build the Sunday school class. The Lord has to build the church. The Lord has to build the family. The Lord has to build the business. The Lord has to do it. And if not, we'll have some problems and our laboring will be in vain. Now, we should not wait until we come to the tipping point in our lives. We shouldn't come to the place where we're running and running so long and running so hard till we're crippled with some of the stress fractures it might be in our legs. Because we run and run too hard and run too long. And we add burdens until our shoulders are stooped. God doesn't intend for us to do that. Now, how are we going to overcome? There's one way. One way to overcome your burden. That's through Christ. And I can say that if you're here and you're lost tonight, you do have a great burden. I tell you, somebody that has a lot of stress, it's an unsaved person who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven. They may act like they don't have stress, but I think deep down in their heart, there's a great deal of pressure there. Makes them know that they're not ready to meet God. And if you're here that way tonight, I can tell you the only way to overcome that guilt and that stress is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But a Sunday night crowd, most of you, maybe all of you, are saved. And I can tell you the only way to overcome it is be careful and don't take on more than you're supposed to. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't bring all of these things on yourself. And then if things come your way and you cannot control them, and maybe you've made some errors in that, then turn it over to God. Turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean on God. Jesus said, casting all of your cares on me because I care for you. Are you stressed out tonight? Do you have a lot of stress? You're worried about retirement. You're worried about the future. You're worried about your children. And you're worried about all of these things. You have some fears and worries. Listen, turn them over to God. And we know from the Scriptures, He will take care of whatever it is that we have need of by the grace of God. Would you stand, please? We're going to have an invitation. If you're lost, you're under stress, the guilt of sin, you need to come to Christ. If you're a Christian, tonight you have some burdens on your heart, some things that really could stress you out and really could depress you and really could get you down unless you turn them over to Christ. Would you come to the old-fashioned altar tonight and kneel and just turn those things over to the Lord? Father, thank you for your word and thank you. You promised you would be with us, never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you that you've invited us to cast all of our stress, all of our cares on you because you love us, you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing, would you bring those things to God tonight, whatever it may be?